WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. We are learning more about the object shot down by the U.S. this weekend. Here's CBS's Kimmy McCormick.
One of the reasons these latest three objects were shot down, the U.S. is monitoring the skies more closely.
The United States and Canada have been more closely scrutinizing that airspace, including enhancing our radar capabilities.
But much more will be learned by what is recovered from where they were shot down. The National Security Council's John Kirby.
Efforts are actively underway right now at all sites to find what is left of those objects so that we can better understand and communicate with the American people what they are.
Electronics and part of the structure from that Chinese surveillance balloon were recovered over the weekend off South Carolina's coast.
It's been a week now since earthquakes rocked parts of Turkey and Syria, killing more than 35,000 people. But CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb tells us search crews are still looking for signs of life.
The city of Hatay has suffered the worst of the worst. But even with destruction on a scale that's hard to fathom, these men say they won't stop searching.
Even after a week, rescue workers say they hope they'll find survivors. But more often than not, they're finding bodies.
Ford is building a new $3.5 billion battery plant in Marshall, Michigan. Governor Gretchen Whitmer says it's a huge investment in the state.
We're competing, and Michigan is winning against other states and nations because of our deep manufacturing roots, our tough, talented workers, and willingness to work with anyone who wants to get things done.
Production's expected to start by 2026. In New York City, a driver's in custody after plowing into pedestrians and leading police on a wild chase through Brooklyn. NYPD Commissioner Keyshawn Sewell.
Behind us is a U-Haul truck stopped successfully by the NYPD, ending a violent rampage through Brooklyn that left at least 8 people injured. Those victims are now in area hospitals.
A police officer is among the injured. Switching gears now, tomorrow's one of the biggest date nights of the year.
Rounding out the top places to date across the country.
The top 5 cities for dating, according to Eventbrite this year, are Boston is number 1, followed by New York, Philadelphia, Denver, and Seattle.
Eventbrite's Sarah Bigham says they're great spots because people are searching for events and where to meet new people.
Save room for my love.
As for the worst, according to their research, Vegas.
And possibly it's because of the tourism. They're not going to Las Vegas to date, and they're not looking for single cities.
She says there's a 53% increase in people searching for in-person things to do this Valentine's Day compared to last year. Matt Piper, CBS News.
And if you're feeling extra bitter, zoos across the country will let you name a cricket or a roach after your ex. This is CBS News.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
One group wants more information.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know.
A chef who grew up cooking and eating Hmong dishes with his family in Port Edwards, Wisconsin, is now a semifinalist for the James Beard Award's Best Chef in the Midwest.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by Monk's Bar & Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar & Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Here's the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
Welcome into the Greg Gard Show, our weekly chat with the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, whose team begins a three-game homestand tomorrow night. Excuse the clanging, by the way. We're here at the Kohl Center. Construction work continuing here, so any banging around you hear, that's what it is. No injuries that we know of. Badgers take it on Michigan on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock tip at the Kohl Center. Then a Saturday morning matchup, 11 a.m. here against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. And then a week from Wednesday, the Iowa Hawkeyes come to town, a team the Badgers knocked off in overtime earlier this season. So we get with the head coach, and it's right to it. You always say you turn the page in a hurry. And also, too, as a competitor, I remember Bo said this once after it was after a tough setback. He said, man, as a competitor, you can't wait for next. And in this case, next is practice. You got on the floor a little bit yesterday. You get on the floor late Monday afternoon. A competitor just wants to get back there and get after it. Especially after, you know, any game, but especially after Saturday against Nebraska.
Yeah, I think with how that game unfolded and how we, you know, didn't play good basketball the last 50, played really good basketball the first 25, but the last 15, you have a really bad taste in your mouth. And like you mentioned, the faster you can get back on the court and move on to next, it helps get rid of some of the taste. It doesn't all go away. But I think that's the biggest thing is, regardless, you always want to perform well and play the game well, and that's probably the biggest disappointing, most frustrating thing. Obviously, your results, but you play the game well, you usually get good results, and we found out that if you don't, you're not gonna get the good results.
We ask you a lot about the last minutes, if it were the last possession or what didn't go right, but you mentioned it. You guys played really good basketball for 25. What did you like the most about how your team went about building the lead?
Well, I thought we were good offensively. The ball moved. We got some good open looks. We were good in transition. For the most part, we took care of the ball. Defensively, even looking back through the game, the first half, we gave up too much in transition, not as much as we did in the second half. And there was the signs that we were fouling too much, which was addressed even in the first half. And that expedited. That got even worse in the second half, and that's what I think really changed for us was the defensive end. You know, first half we were good. I didn't think we were great. Second half, like I said, when you foul too much and give them confidence getting to the free throw line, giving them easy baskets coming in transition, those things snowballed and we put ourselves in big trouble.
And it gets magnified when shots that for the Badgers were going down in the first half weren't. I know in close there it was a struggle, and then even on the outside there were guys who, you know, Connor got off to a great start, and then as can happen, all of a sudden really good shooters go through tough stretches. He had pretty good looks, though.
Yeah, pretty good. Yes. So him and Chuck, you know, there's a few there at the end that were in desperation mode, specifically in overtime, but, you know, 3 for 10 is, that's the average human. You know, we look, when Connor goes 3 for 10, we goes, what's wrong? You know, he didn't go 7 for 10 or 6 for 10. So, some of them we'd like to have back. Shot selection obviously gets graded out and talked about yesterday during film session, and things that could be better, how we can finish better, make better decisions, take care of the ball better in some certain situations and areas, and obviously all the things we talked about defensively. But yeah, I mean, you want guys that are shooting 40%+. You can't micromanage shot selection, because then you really, I don't want to get in their head. I need to stay out of the way when those guys are shooting the ball that well. And, you know, we've got two of the better shooters, and Chucky and Connor from three in the Big Ten, and I gotta let them, you know, be. They need to make decisions for the most part on what it feels good for them.
As we speak to Badger fans here, obviously they think that you can look in the very small window and what did or didn't happen for the Badgers. I think of the last possession of regulation, but I've seen NBA teams. I've seen some of the best college teams in America. Things get drawn up, but human beings play the game, and sometimes it just doesn't unfold the way you'd like.
Not the shot we wanted. No, if it went in, I would have said, "Yeah, that's the shot." No, it's not. You know, but we needed to get in the paint. We needed to execute better there, so Chucky wasn't put in that situation where he was caught with too much time or not enough time on the clock. So, you know, that's that falls on me, number one, to make sure everybody understands. And, you know, film is a great teacher, and film doesn't lie, is what I always say. So making sure there was a lot of things that we should have never been in that position. You know, we had a lead. We have to execute. And like I mentioned from the outset, we have to play better basketball. Play the game the right way, both ends of the floor, and we wouldn't have been in that situation.
And certainly credit to the Huskers, you know, group effort on their part. But we talked before the game about Keisei Tomenaga. You know, as Mike said during the game, he plays with great joy and in passion. That's very evident to see. He also scores a lot, which people appreciate too down there. He got hot, right? Which he has done against enough teams already.
He's done it pretty much all year. You know, Purdue goes in there pre-Christmas and has to go to overtime to escape. And probably watching that game back when it happened, Nebraska probably should have won it. They had several chances late in the game to win it before it went to overtime. But, you know, there's been other – you look across our league. I mean, there's – like I said, there's parity. We get caught in the records, and rightfully so. I know results matter. But there is a lot of parity, and we let them play to what they do well. Get momentum going. Tomenaga get going from three. Get their crowd behind it. We didn't respond and react and counter back in the appropriate way when it did happen and handle that little run. We let the little run turn into a big run. And like I said, there's a lot of things that were self-inflicted that we need to correct and get better from.
Yeah, an important word there, parity, because when I'm ready to put Purdue head and shoulders above the rest, and look, they're likely the best team in the Big Ten, but they go into Evanston, and Northwestern is a team that rallies late. And,
right.
You know, their latest example of the, you know, their improvement on defense and, you know, all of a sudden, like nothing, I mean, not all of a sudden, the latest example that nothing is automatic in this conference.
Purdue's lost two in a row, right?
Yes, sir. Two in a row or two out of three? What are they lost to Indiana?
Oh, that's right. They beat Iowa in between.
Yeah,
they beat Iowa in between. Yeah, two out of three. And you get on the road, anything can happen. As you mentioned, Northwestern is not a fluke. I mean, they played very solid. They got two senior guards that are doing what they need to be doing. Playing winning basketball, and defensively they've improved, you know, and Purdue turned it over a bunch, you know, and Edie didn't handle the post trap probably like Coach Painter would have liked and coughed it up a lot. So but like I said, it's why sports are sports, and we come down to a last second field goal last night too.
Right.
Holding or not holding?
Technically holding. It's just, it's not called consistently.
Yeah.
That's my...
Especially in the tie game, make that...
I'll give the Eagles credit. They have taken the high road.
Yes.
But it's more like in the previous... Yeah, let's shift the focus here. In the AFC title game, when Mahomes got hit out of bounds, like quarterbacks are protected.
Right.
So that's going to get called probably 100 times out of 100. The holding call... It's like a nickel dimer late in a basketball game.
Right.
Like by the letter of the law, it is, but
let the players decide it.
Yeah,
I haven't checked in with the old head coach, former head coach, to see how his thoughts on it, being a diehard Eagles fan that he is. I'm sure I'll give it a few days of cooling off period before I jostle him about the Super Bowl.
Oh, I know, because whatever it is, you will call him and you will ask him, and it'll be probably 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
30 minutes
mm-hmm.
straight. So. Hey, shout out to Melvin Gordon, Leo Chanel, members of the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl rings, and obviously a big tip of the cap to T.J. Edwards, undrafted free agent with the Philadelphia Eagles, but a very instrumental part of that team going to the Super Bowl. Hey, let's get to the Penn State game. We talked about Nebraska enough, but you guys did a lot of things well throughout the course of the game offensively. Yeah, they did too, but you guys, that was one of the better offensive showings in a while.
style.
Yeah, I mean, I thought pretty good college game for the casual observer. Terrific. In terms of shot making, pretty clean game, not choppy, not an excessive amount of fouls. So I think two teams that played pretty well, respectively, and fortunately we were able to, a heck of a shot by Lundy to send it in overtime. I mean, that's one of, you don't draw it up, you dribble to the sideline, and I don't know if that's in Coach Shrewsbury's playbook. That's the fine line. I mean, you got a shot like that where he dribbles to the sideline and chucks it, and it goes in, and, you know, we've seen the other end of that where shots don't go in. So, but a credit to our guys for responding and not, you know, commanding the lead most of the game and then letting it get tied or having it actually come back from a couple, two or three down in the second half to have it go to overtime, not crumbling, continue to battle and get it done in overtime.
All right, we will take a break. When we continue, we'll focus in on the Michigan Wolverines celebrating 75 years of food and fun. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Badger Athletics. More to come on the Greg Gard Show in a couple of minutes of the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Every time you use LRS, Wisconsin's local waste and recycling leader is a guaranteed slam dunk. When it comes to great service and competitive pricing, LRS is the industry champion. LRS offers its valued Wisconsin customers services such as roll-off dumpster rental and portable restrooms that are perfect for any construction renovations or outdoor events. Choose the local team with the highest level of customer service and the right equipment to fit the needs of your business, construction site, or home. Partner with LRS today and call for a quote at 844-WI-TRASH.
Wisconsin is the place to be for basketball. Not just because the Badgers were crowned the number one team in the Big Ten last year, but also because UW Health Orthopedics and UW Hospital are ranked number one in Wisconsin. Together, we form an unstoppable team. No matter if you fracture your foot from a jump ball or strain your voice from a bad call, UW Health delivers the best care in the state. Here to help every Badger take on another season of victory. UW Health. Remarkable.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Get your flooring project to the finish line with Menards. With thousands of flooring options and top brands like Tarkett, you'll find the perfect flooring to give your home a fresh new look. Choose from our huge selection of Tarkett vinyl flooring that stands up to everyday life. Invitation laminate flooring is quick and easy to install. It's durable, stain, and fade resistant. On sale for $139 a square foot. Good through February 18th. Race to savings now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show. Coming up, we'll check in with Badgers assistant coach Sharif Chambliss. And a bit later, Mike Lucas will have a fun conversation with Sean Morris, the former Northwestern Wildcat and longtime analyst on the Big Ten Network. Wolverines in town tomorrow night. And, oh, coach, we'll get the elephant in the room out there. We all know what transpired at the conclusion of last year's game, which, by the way, was a Wisconsin win and a day where they honored Michael Finley, whose jersey is up in the rafters and will forever be. Would I be accurate in saying that maybe the Badgers and Wolverines have, like, more important things to be focused on right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's water under the bridge. It's gone by, you know. I'm sure it'll have or has traction, or people will try to stir it back up. But in the big picture, that's behind us, and we get other things to worry about. More importantly, trying to play well and get ready for a Michigan team that's, you know, has played very well at times. Good big guy inside, Hunter Dickinson, Jet Howard, Coach Howard's son, really talented freshman. So, and other guys around. Kobe Bufkin is playing really well. Doug McDaniel, freshman point guard, has had good moments. So it's a group much like ours, has, you know, at times played really well and at times, you know, struggled a little bit. So that'll be what we need to focus on, and rightfully so.
Yeah, of course it's a Valentine's Day game. I think television partners do have a sense of humor.
Yeah, there's somebody there has a sense of
and
humor.
And then the photo that was actually on the Wisconsin basketball Twitter account of you and Coach Howard.
Back in media day.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, actually, you know, we spent a lot of that time talking about Coach Moore, Howard Moore, you know, because Juwan grew up with him in Chicago, obviously was playing at Michigan about the same time Howard was here. So just, you know, it was more of an update and what's going on with Howard and what the future plans are in terms of trying to help him as, you know, there will be an event here in April coinciding with the 125 reunion to try to help Coach Moore through some long-range health care needs. But Juwan is, you know, I remember the second day after the car accident going back to Ann Arbor. It was over on the day of the car accident on a Saturday, and then came back about on Wednesday or Thursday the follow that next week. And it ironically was the same day Juwan had his press conference, introduced as the new head coach at Michigan. And is I walked into the hospital room. Coach Howard was standing there at bedside with Howard. So that's my first introduction to Juwan Howard, and that's the memory and thought, you know, of his concerns for Howard and Coach Moore and his family.
Interesting. When I hear you describing that, Howard and I, we've had these conversations many times over the years about the Fab Five. I said, if you could pick one, who's the guy? Juwan Howard. He said right away. That would be, you know, with Jalen Rose, that whole deal.
Right.
The family, I know, has been very, very protective of privacy, and certainly I respect that. But what are you able to tell us about how, get to really the stuff that matters right now, and right. Howard, how is he now?
He's doing okay. I mean, he's home. He's rehabbing and trying to make comeback, you know, in terms of, you know, getting back on his feet and everything. And, you know, the family's been, they've done a phenomenal job. A huge credit to Howard Sr. and Trennis, and obviously Jarrell's there at home too. And I think now in high school, is in high school as a junior. But Rashard Griffith has still played a very vital, important role, and so many people. And it's, you know, time keeps moving on, Matt, but that's one that sticks with you, and it'll probably stick with me obviously forever. And just happy that in the spring here we've had a group of people, including former teammates, Andy Kilbride, Chris Conger, others, George Hamill, Tim Valentine, that are behind you know, having putting together a little event in between the major events Friday night and Saturday night on Saturday afternoon to honor and to support Coach Moore, and like I said, try to help financially, you know, for some major medical costs going forward.
It's great what you're doing. It's hard to imagine that we're coming up on 4 years ago when that occurred, and we all of us, and you know, you, I'm sure it's on your mind every day. With so many of us, we're, you know, you have the rooting interest. You want this to happen today. You know, why? You know, great that they won. What happened when they didn't? And you got to get reminded of stuff that's a hell of a lot more important, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, as we sit here and talk about it, I just flash back to, you know, as we started this with Juwan Howard, of my first meeting with him at the hospital. And it is, truthfully, if there's ever a true life horror story, I haven't heard anything that really tops it. Like I said, fortunately, there's a lot of great people that have stepped up to help, and you know, never will be able to replace or undo what has been done in terms of what happened that weekend and the following month. But trying to do all we can do, and that's what's great about Badgers and the Badger family, that when the time really comes, they step up and help those in need.
Yeah, without a doubt. And my awkward segue here as we pick up again a little bit with Michigan, and you've touched on it by mentioning some of their players. It is, you know, outside of Dickinson, it's a pretty young team. But I remember you talked about him 2 years ago. He didn't have what you called the baby giraffe syndrome even then. He always on balance and shooting a few more threes.
He is, shot him pretty well. Doesn't take a ton of them, but I think shooting in the 40s, 40% or greater. So he's selective with it. Ball looks good coming out of his hands. He's obviously worked on that. But you're right about just new faces. I put in last year's game here over the weekend, and there's not a lot of carryover other than him and a little bit of Kobe Bufkin. There's a lot of, like I said, a lot of new faces and playing through Dickinson quite a bit. But we mentioned earlier, Jed Howard is really, really talented, probably a projected lottery pick coming up in the NBA draft. But really, you can tell he knows how to play.
Yeah, terrific three-point shooter, among other things. You also mentioned Doug McDaniel. He stepped into the starting role when Jalen Llewellyn, the transfer from Princeton, went down with the knee injury. And, you know, he doesn't score like Chucky, but his assist-to-turnover ratio is very similar, a little better than 2-1.
Yeah, he's really, I got a first chance really to look at him. We were recruiting another kid that player from his conference back, and we watched a lot of film of this player. He didn't come here, we didn't go down the road with him recruiting wise, but in the evaluation process watched him a lot against Doug McDaniel and got a first look there of how good and how talented he was with his high school team. So, and then he's had to step in. You know, like you mentioned, Llewellyn goes down with an ACL injury. I think they were really counting on him to be the primary point guard and not having to put a freshman into that position. But McDaniel's done a good job of stepping in.
I mentioned at the top a three-game homestand here. I know you're the ultimate one-at-a-time guy, but, you know, Rutgers coming in on Saturday, the first and only meeting in the regular season. Sounds like a typical tough, hard-nosed Steve Peichel.
Yeah, outfit. They are. They're, you know, another team that's older, with McConnell and McKahee and Omarue up front. So, and just how they play, very similar to us in terms of it's going to be physical. It's going to be there. It won't be for the faint of heart. You better get your shoulder pads and your helmets on, because it'll definitely be a true Big Ten battle.
You have smart guys in your team. Our remaining minute, but I'm hoping that, I know what happened Saturday is done. That this is fun now. You're in a stretch drive. You're trying to, you know, build the resume. This right. is what they did all this stuff in the summer.
Exactly. And it's, like I said, we control our destiny. You know, regardless, what we want is still out in front of us. We have to go get it. We have to earn it. We would have liked, obviously, a much better result on Saturday when we had done so many good things, and that's what sticks with you. But I got to flush it, too. You know, I can't ask them to do it. And I'm still lamenting over frustrations. But, no, we got to play good basketball here down the stretch, and we're still in the conversation for postseason. But let's, in order to do that, as I always mentioned, you talk about you have to play good basketball in November, December, and January, February, or March doesn't set up how you want it to. And we got a chance here over the next 3-4 weeks to play good basketball.
All right. Badgers play in Michigan tomorrow night here at the Kohl Center. We'll take a break. We'll check in with assistant coach Sharif Chambliss in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 30 tonight under clear skies, southerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely, high temperatures reach up to 49. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 37, cloudy. About an inch of snow Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 43.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show. This segment, we have a chance to visit with Badgers assistant coach Sharif Chambliss, a very good player for 3 years at Penn State, then transferred to Wisconsin, sat out a year because you had to do that in those days as a transfer, and then was a key player in the Badgers' run to the Elite Eight in 2005. So he knows the feeling as a player. He certainly knows it as a coach of what it's like to battle through tough stretches. Every team will experience one or two tough stretches in a season. We caught up with Coach Reef about that and other topics.
It's usually February. It's usually the month of February is when that feels like the dog days. That's what we call them, the dog days. You know, focusing on all the little things, making sure you're taking care of your body is a huge part of that. Your body's probably starting to get worn down. And again, it was a long summer for us with us having the foreign trip, us coming back and getting ready right away. We definitely just take it day by day. You got to take it day by day. You got to have a plan, making sure you're taking care of your work. We started second semester, so you got to take care of academics, take care of your body. Still trying to get those extra reps in when you can, as far as shooting and all the rest for your skills.
It was funny you mentioned that about the dog days. I was talking to a former official the other day, and we're talking about, you know, coaches and technicals and all that. And even the official said, this time of year, everybody's mad at everybody. Coaches don't want to hear it from fans. Officials don't want to hear it from coaches and fans. It's just kind of the way it is, right? But you keep coming to work every day. You get through that, and you could have some good rewards in the end.
I always used to call it the third week of February is when everybody starts getting technicals. You'll see coaches get thrown out. But it started a little earlier for us when we were in Ohio. So, you know, coaches just don't want to hear it. They're fed up. They got a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, officials, again, when you can talk to them and you give them that level of respect they usually do, that doesn't mean they're still human. They're not going to make the right calls all the time. We're going to see a call is obviously biasly different based on what we see and what team we're with. But you know, you at this point, you got to remind yourself you only can control what you can control. And for us, getting in here, working with these guys every day, just trying to get better, still trying to get better, so we can play our best basketball at the right time.
I always hear so much about this game, if it's free throw shooting or maybe just anything offensively in general. So much of it can be from the neck up. If the ball goes, if you see the ball go in the hole early, if it's at the foul line or whatever, that could make all the difference in the world. Sounds simple, but there must be something to it. Right?
When they call this game a game of inches, it is. It's the inches probably between your ears is what it is, especially late in the thing, making sure you're paying attention to scouting reports, making sure you're being attentive on certain actions, boxing out, all those things that we talk about, the little things. For us, again, there's a small margin of error. And, you know, we played pretty well at the in this last game, but we weren't able to get it done against Northwestern. Just the little things. I mean, in a one-point game, you can't have nine turnovers, especially three passes going right into arms. Just little things like that. Same side help. We can't do that. We know that. And, you know, film definitely talked. It was talked about in film. But we're ready to get rolling. Get rolling to this next one.
We had a funny moment. You mentioned the Northwestern game. You know, Connor goes out there and he misses the first three shots, and then he makes one. And I'm saying on the air, well, just keep shooting, Connor. You'll be fine. And even Mike said, yeah, he probably doesn't have to be reminded of that. There's just a certain confidence with him that he's not going to let one miss affect the next shot.
I tell you, man, for a freshman, he has a lot of moxie. A kid that definitely put in the work, and I think that's where his confidence comes from.
Speaking of putting in the work, I've talked a lot about Max Klesmit, but I just kind of marvel at his toughness, especially coming back off of the injury that he had in the Penn State game. I think Dean Oliver said the thing about him is he's like nonstop relentless. There's not like, you know, maybe take a couple minutes off. The way he came back after missing a couple of games and right away he's taking a couple charges, that's just kind of who he is.
When he went into the portal, I tried to do my due diligence by calling down there one of my good friends, Dwight Perry, who's now the interim head coach down there at Wofford. He said talent level, he might not be at that level, but he's so competitive. His competitiveness helps keep him at that level.
Yeah, there's a way of just making winning plays too, right? I mean, you could have the high-flying dunker, the guy who's going to get you 20 and 10, which is great. But at crunch time, he just seems to have that knack, doesn't he?
I just feel like I see him, and he feels like he's not going to be denied. And, you know, and that's what's able to keep him at this level, and that's what he makes him good when he's doing that for us.
When you get into a game, as we talk, it's pre-Nebraska. I mean, when you're playing a team for the first time this late in the year, and you'll obviously have that with Purdue.
In Michigan.
Yeah, in some ways, is it refreshing? Is it new material for these guys? I mean, you guys scout each other to the nth degree. You play a team a second time, you know pretty much everything. Is there anything that is good about it, refreshing, just playing a team that first time late in the year?
I think so. Seeing new bodies, obviously new actions. The guys are more attentive on the first time you give them the scouting report, trying to make sure they have it all right away. But for us, it's about preparing one game at a time, one practice at a time, just trying to get better. Again, controlling what we can control.
There are certain guys, too, that would be just fun to, I'm sure, as a scout team guy. You want to be Keisei Tomenaga. You want to be, like, logo three guy, right? In your transfer year, right, when you came here, when you were a practice player. That'd have been you, right?
It probably would have been me, and I would have been letting a lot of shots up. I would have had to definitely ice my shoulders and my arms and elbows.
That's Badgers assistant coach Sharif Chambliss, and yeah, he could shoot it. Make no mistake about it. We'll take another break when we continue. Mike Lucas will visit with BTN analyst Sean Morris. Very interesting conversation coming up in a couple of minutes on the Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Wisconsin is the place to be for basketball. Not just because the Badgers were crowned the number one team in the Big Ten last year, but also because UW Health Orthopedics and UW Hospital are ranked number one in Wisconsin. Together, we form an unstoppable team. No matter if you fracture your foot from a jump ball or strain your voice from a bad call, UW Health delivers the best care in the state. Here to help every Badger take on another season of victory. UW Health. Remarkable.
Where can you find the best seats in the house on game day? If you can't beat the actual game, Monk's Bar and Grill will always have you covered with more than 20 flat screen TVs, great food options for every age, and an atmosphere that can't be beat for Badger fans. Outside of the stadium, it's the next best experience you can have on a Badger game day. With 6 locations throughout Wisconsin, Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we designed the Ford trucks of the future for everyone. Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks for 45 years straight. Made for performance and capability on and off-road. Because the trucks of the future aren't designed for a few. They're built for America. Ford F-Series. Drive one today. Based on 1977 to 2021 calendar year total sales.
Hey, Badger fans, the wait is over. The Wisconsin Badgers basketball team is back on the court, and Shields has everything you need to cheer on your favorite players all season long. Take your game day gear to the next level with Shields Fan Shop. We have an unmatched lineup of fan gear, including jerseys, hats, hoodies, and more to help you show off your team colors. So gear up, Badgers fans, and celebrate all season with Shields, a proud partner of Wisconsin Badgers basketball and hoops fans everywhere.
Every time you use LRS, Wisconsin's local waste and recycling leader is a guaranteed slam dunk. When it comes to great service and competitive pricing, LRS is the industry champion. LRS offers its valued Wisconsin customers services such as roll-off dumpster rental and portable restrooms that are perfect for any construction, renovations, or outdoor events. Choose the local team with the highest level of customer service and the right equipment to fit the needs of your business, construction site, or home. Partner with LRS today and call for a quote at 844-WI-TRASH.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Welcome back to the Greg Gard Radio Show. I'm Mike Lucas. I'm joined by Sean Morris from the Big Ten Network. So first of all, I want a definition. I want the definition of parity, and then I want you to apply it to the Big Ten.
Well, parity is where literally anyone can beat anybody. I think that's exactly what you have right now in the Big Ten. I think still Purdue may have separated themselves a little bit from everybody else, and then you have a couple of teams that are down at the bottom, I think, relatively clearly so. But, you know, from 2 through 12, you're going to have a bunch of teams that finish the year, Mike, anywhere between 7 and 10 wins. So we always talk about the competitive nature of the league. I think this is a really good example of it, where you have one team in Purdue that they've taken a couple stumbles, but I think you can legitimately say they probably are a little bit above everybody else. But you get beyond them, and you know, you see what Indiana's done recently. You know, Rutgers has hit a little bit of a rough spot, but you've seen what they can do. Maryland won 4 in a row. So that's, to me, the definition of parity, is what we've seen so far.
I don't want to date you, but I believe you played at Northwestern in the 80s. That would be in the 1980s.
Yes, sir.
Given your experience around the conference, is this the most parity you've seen in a while?
I would say in a while. You know, I'm not going to be one of those guys that says ever, because I think that would be a little hyperbolic, but I think so. You know, and maybe from the bottom quadrant is probably the difference between them and the middle to the upper echelon of the league. That distance is closed, and I think that could be for any number of reasons. The fact that it's more of a transient game, right, where some guys are – coaches are continually having to kind of retool how they play with different guys. So the ability to build a team that for in 3 years this team's going to be X, Y, or Z, you can't say that now. You can't even say that for next year.
So here's a tough question. Is the overall level of play higher or lower?
I'm going to say lower. Now, that may be just the get-off-my-lawn part of my nature, but I don't think it's necessarily the kids' fault. But I will say this, is that it's very difficult in a team game to excel at the level that you're used to seeing teams excel at if teams aren't together for any period of time. And, you know, with guys coming in and out, it's very difficult to, especially if a coach is trying to play a certain way, well, part of that is learning how to play with the other guys playing that certain way. And you have people coming and going all the time. It's very, very difficult to get that continuity. So that's a long way of saying I think the level of play, the execution in many ways has kind of dropped off because guys aren't playing together as much.
And then I'll even go a little bit deeper into the weeds. I don't think by the time they get to college, I don't think that the skill level is what it has been in the past, because so much of what these young guys do when they get here, they play a lot of games, but are they playing it the right way? I think it's diminished a little bit.
We're talking with Sean Morris from the Big Ten Network. In this vein, in this context, is the transfer portal a positive? Is it a negative, or is it something in between?
I would classify it as a negative, an overall negative. Now, there's positives to it. There's times where it's just right for everyone involved for a kid to move on. You know, and that's been true forever. And I also understand a little bit about not having to sit out. I get that up to a certain point. My biggest thing is, not to get too philosophical, what are we able to teach these young guys, where if something doesn't go your way for whatever reason, you can leave. You don't even have to tell the coach. You literally do not have to tell the coach. You can go to the compliance person and you're gone. And I think that at least what's been so appealing to me about college basketball, because that's been my background, is the things that you learn outside of the lines. You know, you learn by playing within the lines, but those experiences go outside. And I think it's been very, very difficult for, you know, my feeling with the transfer portal is this, is that, okay, if you want to go down this road with the ability to move almost unfettered, okay, I'll grant you that. But then isn't the next step then to counterbalance that? What's to say then for a coach, if you're going to just say, hey, that's the way we're going to go, why can't they cut guys? Why can't they cut them? Why can't they just say, hey, you're not good enough and you know, move on? And I'm not going to be flabbergasted if that becomes an issue. Then there's always been an issue in terms of running guys off, but I think it'll be, hey, if you can come and go the way you want, okay, but there's a price to be paid for that.
Name, image, likeness was not intended, allegedly, to be a recruiting enticement. It is, in many cases. How do you put up guardrails?
I don't know if you can now. I don't know if you can, and you know, and I'll answer your question, but to pay off your earlier part of your question, the people who sat there and said, well, this won't be part of recruiting, one of two things. Now, you hit a nerve with me. It was one of two things, Mike. They were either lying or incomprehensibly stupid. Either one of which, to me, disqualifies you from having anything to do with oversight. That being said, I don't know if you can put guardrails up. I think, unfortunately, you're starting to see, we all know it, tampering. You know, why are guys leaving? You're seeing teams that there are no question in my mind that have locker room problems because X is getting this, and I thought I was going to get that, and I don't know. I don't know if you can put that proverbial toothpaste back in. I just don't. And I think for the powers that be to sit there and, you know, now they're calling on Congress. I mean, okay, all right. We'll see how that all works out. It's unfortunate. I think that there could have been some things done prior to this to maybe stem this and maybe put some things in place. But I don't know how you recage this beast. I just don't.
Fair enough. Let's get back to the X's and O's. Is there anybody in this league at this stage of the season that you see making a deep run in the tournament?
You know, I like Purdue because of, you have someone in Zach Edey that you just don't see that much, especially in the game now. And I like the way that they're connected defensively. I think that they have a chance. The big question is going to be, and these young guards have played very, very well for them. But, you know, when the proverbial lights get brighter, how are they going to perform? I like where they're at. You know, Indiana has started to kind of figure out ways to get the ball to Trayce Jackson-Davis kind of on the move. I think the big thing for them is going to be, can they get enough consistent perimeter shots to go down to take some of the load off him? But Purdue is just someone that, from the moment I saw them, you know, live this year, they're just something a little bit different from them. And it's not just with what they can do offensively. It's how in tune they are with one another on the defensive end, which has surprised me.
When you played at Northwestern, were you entrusted with guarding the post often? Probably, I guess, your best wishes, but yeah. Did you guard the post? And if you were forced today to guard Zach Edey, how would you do so?
Cheat. The only thing that would be comparable to anything that I faced in the 1980s, he wasn't 7'4", but Uwe Blopp was 7'2". Not necessarily as skilled as Zach Edey, but the size is relatively comparable. And it's very, very difficult. Because the best you can hope for, I think, is if you know that he likes to catch it right on that right block, the best you can do is literally try to race and get to that spot and maybe move him 6 inches or 8 inches. Because a lot of times, if that's somebody's sweet spot, that's where they spend a lot of their time, you know, working. And if you can move them just a little bit where the shot becomes a little bit more unfamiliar, I think especially with a guy like Zach Edey, that's the best you can hope for. And then if you're, especially if your coach decides we're not going to run a double team, we're just going to, you know, we're going to let him get 40 and not allow him to kick it out because he's a pretty good passer. So it's a difficult task.
A lot of the pundits like Purdue during the regular season. Many of them wonder if the whistle will change the way they will play or can play in the tournament.
Yeah, I understand that point. It's made every year, you know. And I think the other thing is for folks that say that, you know, well, you know, the Big Ten refs. Well, there really are no such thing, you know. Every ref is an independent contractor. So it's going to, there are some that appear in more leagues than others. That's a story for a different day, you know, for people who complain about it. You know, you want to make refs specific to your league, making them employees. I mean, Lord knows there's enough money if you wanted to do that. But yeah, that's a question that everybody has every year. They'll make it about a team that plays through the post. They'll make it a team that plays on the perimeter, right? And they'll say, well, are they going to call bumping the cutter? Are they going to call all those sorts of things? That's always a variable when you kind of get out of your own little niche, because, you know, the points of emphasis are supposedly the same across the country. How they're enforced may vary, you know, by region. But that's a question that is asked just about every year.
Final couple thoughts. Why has it been over two decades that the Big Ten has won a national championship?
You know, that's a really good question. There's been teams, teams that have gotten maybe not even to the Final Four that I'll use, one of my good friends and a guy that works at the network. I firmly believe that if Robbie Hummel wouldn't have blown his knee in 2010, something like that, they were really poised with Etuan Moore and Juwan Johnson. Sometimes it's been injuries. Sometimes it's been the proverbial matchups. But, you know, you still have to. Wisconsin's a great example. If that Duke game would have been officiated the way it's officiated now, and they didn't allow Grayson Allen to, you know, throw his body into everybody from Bucky Badger to, you know, Bo Ryan, maybe that's a different thing. But, you know, the facts are what they are. And I think there's been teams that have been good enough, but they just haven't been able to get over the hump, because there's certainly the number of Final Four teams has been, you know, comparable to just about anybody there. It's just you got to make shots, and you got to adjust to however the game's being called.
Final thing, I promise.
Okay.
In college, you shot about 79% from the free throw line. I think at the last three seasons of competition, you shot well over 100 free throw attempts. What happens to what has been a normally good free throw shooter who goes into a funk and can't hit above 50%? I relate that to Wisconsin as a team. They've got some players who are just shooting so under their norm. How do you compensate for that? How do you get back on track?
You've probably heard this many times, but there is a physical nature of it, but I'm going to address it. That is a completely mental exercise. And it's just a matter of repetition. But it also plays off the physical. If somebody has, in particular, a lower body injury, okay, and they're used to going up on their toes, and it may cause them pain or whatever, they may adjust, and it may sound like a small thing, but if so much of your shot, whether it's a free throw or whatever, comes from from your trunk down, and if that's thrown off a little bit, and you try to make adjustments up here, you know, with the higher point of your release, and your elbow may fly out, it's a little thing like that, but most of it is just, it's just mental, and it can be, for want of a better term, catching.
Yeah, I was going to say contagious.
It can be contagious, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, that's why this game is not computer generated, you know, at least for the time being, it's still played by, you know, people, and there is some psychology involved in it, but there is a little bit of a physical, and you can tell sometimes, Mike, when a guy has been injured and he comes back, and, you know, because they all if guys really love to play, they'll find a way to get out there even when they're hurt. And the first thing that sometimes people will allow them to do is shoot free throws. Well, if they're not 100% healthy and they're out there shooting and, you know, they're not able to get their legs into it like they usually would and they start to adjust, well, once they do get healthy, it's muscle memory. So they almost will have to unlearn something that kind of seeped in without them even knowing it. And so much of it comes with the release if they're not able to get their legs into it.
Great talking to you again. Nice visit. Anything from Leonard Skinner you want to leave us with?
They're on tour for their 50th anniversary tour, and I plan on being there somewhere.
Sean, good seeing you again.
Thank you.
That's Mike Lucas visiting with Sean Morris, analyst on the Big Ten Network. We're back to wrap things up on the Greg Gard Show in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at SeizeTheAwkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe. And it's the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay. Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Other games on the Big Ten schedule tomorrow night. Penn State has the home floor against Illinois. Nebraska hits the road to Rutgers. Scarlet Knights here on Saturday. Wednesday, Minnesota's at Michigan State. Indiana will be at Northwestern. Cats coming off the big win yesterday against previously top-ranked Purdue. The Boilermakers on Thursday make the trip to College Park, another tough road assignment for Matt Painter's team against Maryland. And Ohio State will take on Iowa at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Our coverage tomorrow night begins at 7 o'clock. Tip time is 8 for the Badgers and the Michigan Wolverines. First of two meetings this month against Juwan Howard's group. And then Saturday morning an 11 a.m. tip at the Kohl Center against Rutgers. We will talk to you tomorrow night for the Badgers in Michigan on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies tonight with a low of 30. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered rain showers likely. Highs level off around 49. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 37. Cloudy skies. About an inch of snow Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 38.
I'm Naheem Hines.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cran.